Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Do you favor a government option that would cover abortions?
What I think is important at this stage is not trying to micromanage what benefits are covered. As you know, I'm pro-choice, but I think we also have a tradition of, in this town, historically, of not financing abortions as part of government-funded health care. And rather than wade into that issue at this point, I think that it's appropriate for us to figure out how to just deliver on the cost savings and not get distracted by the abortion debate at this stage.
That, of course, is President Barack Obama in a recent interview with Katie Couric of CBS News, talking about abortion in healthcare reform. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. So he doesn't want us to get distracted by the issue of abortion in healthcare, but we're still asking in this over 1,000-page bill still under consideration by both houses of Congress, what is there on the subject of abortion in there? What is being proposed? Are roadblocks to taxpayer-funded abortion being taken out of the way by provisions of this bill? No one can really answer that question. And it's perhaps a question that will have to be answered before anyone will seriously consider this bill in its entirety, although they're pushing hard to get it through. We're going to be talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell about healthcare reform and life issues. And after our conversation with Colleen, we'll spend the rest of today's show talking about creation with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. It's Friday afternoon, the 31st of July. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Todd.
How do you react to the president's contention that we shouldn't get distracted by the abortion issue and push forward for cost-saving measures in healthcare reform?
Well, I think it was an artful dodge, but I think anyone who cares about this issue should certainly not be put off the scent of this question by that kind of answer. Before he was elected, Obama was very clear in speaking to abortion rights groups that he believes reproductive care, as he calls it, and that includes abortion in the language he was using, is part of health care. In fact, I think he had a quote to Planned Parenthood to the effect of reproductive care being at the very center of health care. So the fact that he's not wanting to talk too much about abortion right now doesn't necessarily indicate he's changed his mind. And in fact, it signals to me that he probably hasn't changed his mind, which is why he'd rather we focus elsewhere. I think it's also important to notice that the pro-choice crowd is hoping we don't look at this too much. Frances Kissling, who's a big activist in abortion rights circles, recently wrote an article on Salon.com saying, and these are her words, she said, the longer it takes to pass a plan, the more momentum against including coverage for abortion is going to build, which is why she was arguing we need to pass this quickly before that momentum builds. So I think pro-lifers have plenty of reason to worry that abortion could be government-funded, but also mandated, possibly even in private plans, because this House bill, as it stands now, and the Senate bill, both call for a committee that would make decisions about what's funded and what's mandated rather than Congress making those decisions, doctors making those decisions, or private insurers making those decisions.
Why do folks who favor tax-funded abortion, why do folks like Kissler fear the momentum that grows the longer it takes to pass this bill? What's the public mind on this?
Well, polls show this is very unpopular. Taxpayers generally just don't like the idea of Uncle Sam forcing them to pay for other people's abortions. This is polled, Zogby did a poll on this issue in November 2008. I think the numbers they came up with were 71% of Americans objected to taxpayer funding of abortion. So this is a longstanding tradition, as the president mentioned. But the new legislation that's pending right now has several provisions that could pave the way toward these taxpayer-funded abortions. And most importantly, there's, again, as I mentioned, this Health Benefits Advisory Committee that would be making these decisions. And they would, all of the members would be appointed either by the president or by White House officials. So these are folks who would not have much public accountability.
Well, let's talk about the other end, too, because there are equal concerns by disability groups, by the elderly and others, about rationing of health care. What do you think is going on there?
That's right. And again, they have great reason to be concerned. I go back to this committee again, which would be making the decisions about what's covered, but also what's not covered, what's rationed or denied. And again, this would be a hand-picked panel of experts picked by the White House. So they wouldn't be making decisions that would they would have to answer to voters, for instance. And I think the rationing of health care, sometimes we're told not to worry about this. This isn't really an issue. In fact, it's a fact of life in many nations with government-run health care. And one of the best examples is Britain. They have the National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence there. And the NICE board, as it's called, gets a lot of criticism from the British press and British citizens because it routinely denies citizens medications and treatments that are routinely covered in the United States. We're talking breast cancer drugs, drugs for the treatment of early Alzheimer's, drugs that would prolong a patient's life. And the way that they make these decisions is rather chilling. They use a cost-benefit analysis, but specifically a mathematical formula. It's called the quality life adjusted year, something like that, quality adjusted life year, excuse me. And they use this formula to determine the specific numerical value of the individual life in question, and then that number helps them decide whether, yes, you'll get the drug or no, you won't. So obviously, if you're older, if you're disabled, if you're demented, your numerical value, according to this pretty creepy formula, frankly, goes down, and you have a much higher chance of your care being rationed or denied. So we have real reason to fear having a similar board here in the United States, which is exactly what the current legislation calls for.
We hear a lot by the proponents of this bill that the villains here are the insurance companies, and we've got to find a way of breaking their stranglehold on this. But it doesn't sound like what's being proposed is any less villainous. I mean, we're just changing villains from the insurance companies to essentially the government deciding how to ration our care to us.
Exactly. I think everyone agrees the healthcare system needs improving. I don't think there's any debate on that. And certainly all of us have run into problems with insurance companies that don't pay what we think they should pay or cover services we think they should cover. However, private insurers do have to answer to a certain degree to the market and to consumers and to employers who choose their plans. These kinds of government boards wouldn't have to answer to anyone but the president, basically, and we know where the president stands on issues like euthanasia and abortion. He's been very clear that he is not pro-life on those issues. I think we also need to be scared about this mandatory end-of-life counseling for the elderly that's included in the current legislation. Every 5 years, older patients and Social Security recipients would need to be counseled about end-of-life options. Again, I think it's going to be very tempting when those more expensive elders are seeking treatments to counsel them to really think twice about if they really need to prolong their lives. And so I think we need to be very cautious about a lot of what's in this bill. But it's over 1,000 pages long, the House bill, at this point, and even the president has said that he hasn't read the whole thing. He's not familiar with all of its provisions. So I think it's far too soon for anyone to be passing this bill, and I think it really comes down to citizens contacting their representatives and saying, hold off, I want you to look into this, I want you to find a better plan, because the current plan is not going to improve things. It's probably just going to make them worse.
So bottom line, when our listeners hear the president, as you said, artfully dodge a direct question about abortion in healthcare reform and in this bill, and say, let's not get distracted by that. What should they take away from that?
They should take away that probably their taxpayer dollars will fund abortions unless there's a specific exclusion for abortion put in the legislation. And if you're wondering if that's necessary, all you need to look at are at the several attempts that have been made just in the last week or so by various pro-life lawmakers, including Democrats, to put an exclusion in there against abortion, and all of the pushback they've gotten and the fact that they have been unsuccessful. So the pro-choice side is fighting tooth and nail to keep any mention of excluding abortion out of this legislation. And I think that tells you that's because they think the way it is now is going to cover abortions. I mean, that's what folks like Dick Durbin have been very clear on. They think they should be covered, and they think the current legislation allows that. So I think unless there's a specific exclusion for abortion in this legislation, which there isn't right now, we're probably going to end up footing the bill for other people to kill their unborn children.
Colleen Carol Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Check out her columns this weekend. Go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for Colleen Carol Campbell and the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Colleen, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Todd. You too.
When we come back from this break, the remainder of this hour we're going to spend talking about a subject that is less and less popular even among Christians. Of course, it is poo-pooed almost entirely by pop culture and by probably a majority of the scientific community. Creation. Not only the concept of creation, this kind of naked concept that there is a creator who made this, all this, but specifically creation as presented in Holy Scripture. There are a lot of Christians out there who will believe in a creator, but when it comes down to it, he doesn't do a lot of creating. He just kind of, maintains a natural evolutionary process. We'll talk about creation with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa after this. Concordia Publishing House has a new devotional for men titled Blessed is the Man, A Man's Journey Through the Psalms. It's a great resource for individual and group Bible study. Browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or purchase Blessed is the Man by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Blessed is the Man, A Man's Journey Through the Psalms, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven, so I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Email 10 friends the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, and we'll register you to win a gift certificate from Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on August 28th. Just go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, copy and paste the video's embed code into an email, send it to 10 friends, relatives, or fellow parishioners. Be sure to send a carbon of your email with your name and address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tell 10 friends about Issues Etc. and tune in on Friday, August the 28th to find out if you're the winner of a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and send the Issues Etc. YouTube video to your friends.